Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Happy Tuesday and welcome back to a brand new episode of the show from the South Stands to the End Zone. You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Locked On NFL Network, your team. Every day, I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Visa, where you can help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, your coffee spots, or your favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support, so let's be there for them. The next time you choose to go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. Ladies and gentlemen, today's episode, Locked On Broncos. We got a lot in store for you. The Broncos are off today. They've gotten Monday off. They've gotten Tuesday off. They'll be back at the practice field in preparation for Sunday's matchup against the New England Patriots. It's an 11 o'clock a.m. Mountain Time kickoff for those of you at home. But on today's episode of the show, we're going to talk about how Next Gen Stats perceives the Denver Broncos and some of the wide receiver skill players in comparison to some other players across the National Football League. Plus, it is Twitter Tuesday. That means we're going to get to the questions from listeners of Locked On Broncos and those who participate on Twitter Tuesday on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Also, a quick reminder to make sure that you're following the Locked On Broncos podcast at Locked On Broncos. Make sure that you are subscribed and locked on to the podcast and your favorite podcast provider for daily. And when I say daily, I mean Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Locked On Broncos has an episode for you, and we're all looking forward to the Broncos getting back onto the football field. That's been something that we've been really kind of referencing, and obviously we talked about on yesterday's show. We were all disappointed that the NFL decided to move the Broncos game to this Sunday, and so we have to wait. It's been almost about a week and a half, almost 2 weeks, since Denver's been on the field in terms of a game on television, being able to compete against somebody besides themselves. But the storylines will write themselves for this week's matchup against the New England Patriots, who could have Cam Newton back, who could have Stephon Gilmore back. It obviously adds a little bit of icing to the cake there. But first off, I want to start off today's show by going through Next Gen Stats, and I highly encourage Broncos fans, I highly encourage, if you're just an NFL fan listening to this podcast, that you really utilize Next Gen Stats, because the NFL puts a lot of work into it, and I think it really explains and it puts things under perspective in a way that I don't think many people tend to look at when it comes to understanding offense or production or value or those things that we always talk about here on the show with a player, and how it doesn't always contrast to the performance that you see from a team overall. And I think that's something we got to highlight on today's episode, Locked On Broncos. So we're going to take a look at three players for the Broncos offensively in the receiving department, how Next Gen Stats compares them to some of the NFL's top players. And the criteria that I'm going to define, I'm going to explain it to you here. When you look at it overall, they define it for wide receivers, for tight ends. They go by cushion, separation, average targeted air yards, the percentage share of teams' air yards as well, receptions, targets, catch percentage, and overall yardage. Those are the basic stats, but I think really the cushion, the separation, and the targeted air yards are always important. So let's take a look at Broncos tight end Noah Fant. Now, in terms of cushion, what that means overall is that that is the average cushion that whenever a defender is guarding them, that they give that much space in terms of yards. So the average defender plays about 5.6 yards off the ball in coverage against Noah Fant. And then when Noah Fant is running his routes, his amount of separation that he creates for himself, he generates about 4 yards of separation on average. So when you think about that cushion, he's a big, sizable, physical guy, skill player, and has the ability. We've seen the Broncos utilize him offensively on the quick dink and dunk passes, and he's done the rest by taking the ball and getting all the way downfield. He does create that separation because of his long speed that he does have, but the cushion is that linebackers and safeties, they tend to cheat and play about 5.6 yards off the ball, and I'd say that's about standard in terms of tight end coverage. You don't want to have 8 yards or 9 yards of cushion on a tight end, because then he's going to burn you on the short stuff. And I think if the Broncos faced any defense that gave Noah Fant about 7 or 8 yards of cushion, I would go to Noah Fant all day long. And it's going to be a big question as to whether or not he can compete on Sunday against the New England Patriots, still dealing with that ankle injury. Broncos set to return to the practice field tomorrow at the UCL Training Center. We'll find out more as to whether or not Noah Fant goes through practice on a limited basis, on a did not participate, or on a full-time basis. but the odds, I think, are looking in favor for Denver this week in terms of a return for Noah Fant. But in terms of looking at his average targeted air yards, this really makes sense based on the Broncos' offensive philosophy so far that we've seen through four games. It's been different with some of the wide receivers, though. The tight end position has been more of the short dink and dunk passes that I alluded to. Noah Fant's average targeted air yards is about 7.5. So you can see that if a linebacker or a safety is playing 5.6 yards off the ball, he gets about 4 yards of separation overall. He's on those quick where he's blocking down 1-1001, leaking out to the flat, dump off catch, and he's going to run there. The average targeted air yards, he does get to about 7.5 yards. So he is efficient in that regard in terms of being able to be in a position on short yardage situation. You want to be able to go to a guy like Noah Fant. That's what the next gen stats tell us from the National Football League. And his overall percentage share, though, of the team's air yards is 14.86. So really, he does not see a majority share of the Broncos' offensive air yards in terms of passing yards altogether. That could be attributed to maybe the Broncos having three different quarterbacks through 3 weeks of the NFL regular season. But his overall catch percentage is very promising, 70.37%, 19 catches on 27 total targets. He has stepped up to the table here. But now we're going to go to wide receiver Jerry Jeudy here for the Denver Broncos. He's got an average cushion that he faces from NFL defensive backs of about 6.1 yards off coverage, and he does generate about 3.3 yards of separation. Usually we see him on the inside crossing routes, on the over routes, and we saw a little bit on the vertical routes as well. He does get separation, and that's due to his ability to run routes. His average targeted air yards is about 12.5 yards through the air, so the Broncos like to go a little bit to that short to intermediate with Jerry Jeudy, and will take an occasional deep shot there. He receives about 25.1% of share of the team's air yards altogether, and his catch percentage is about 53.57. That's 15 catches on 28 targets. You factor in a couple of drops, and it also factors in, too, when he is targeted and the quarterback doesn't make a good pass, throws it out of bounds, but he's the target. So this catch percentage actually fluctuates into that as well. So if you're looking at that and saying, oh, Jerry Jeudy doesn't catch many of his balls, actually, it just depends. He's had 3 drops, I believe, so far in the season, but some of those other passes are air-milled, either too high, too low, or out of bounds, and those count as targets for him. But I do want to highlight the main point of today's podcast, and that's Tim Patrick when it comes to next-gen stats. His average cushion that he faces against defensive backs, corners tend to play about 7.27 yards off of him in coverage, and he generates about 2.7 yards of separation. Not too much separation overall when you look at guys like DeSean Jackson, 3.1. You look at Dontrell Inman, 3.4, and you even look at David Moore in Seattle, 4.2 yards of separation. That's a different story there, but they give a bigger cushion, obviously, as well. But in terms of the National Football League's rankings, Tim Patrick is actually the 9th leading receiver in terms of cushion, separation, and targeted air yards. And he's got about 13.3 average targeted air yards through the air. So when the Broncos need a first down, he's the guy to go to. We talked about it last year. Tim Patrick got 16 catches, and he had 14 of those catches last season that picked up a first down. So the Broncos, when it's a long yarded situation, they love to go to Tim Patrick. He comes up big. He just came off of a 6-catch, 113-yard performance against the New York Jets. He has been the Broncos' highlight on the offensive side of the ball in terms of overall production and value from a receiving standpoint. 16 catches on 21 targets, and a 76.19 catch percentage, 2 touchdowns on the season for Tim Patrick. But Broncos Country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to get into your questions for Twitter Tuesday on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the sponsors of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That is our good friends over there, rockauto.com and sportsbetting.com. Now with rockauto.com, it's a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. That's 20 years of great service. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. When something goes wrong in your vehicle, you want to make sure that you got all the parts that you need, and rockauto.com is as reliable as they come. So don't waste your time going to a local counterpart store when you can get everything you're looking for online from your phone or on the web at rockauto.com. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you get everything that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. And the best part of it all is the rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle based on year, make, model, brands, specifications, and even the prices you prefer. That's why I rock with rockauto.com. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Lockdown Broncos in there, how did you hear about us box, so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. rockauto.com. sportsbetting.com. And sportsbetting.com is now live and taking action in the state of Colorado, folks. We have Tuesday Night Football. We have the Buffalo Bills and the Tennessee Titans, and sportsbetting.com wants you to put your money on the line today. Sportsbetting.com is passionate about sports, and they're the authority on sports betting. With their own in-house bookmakers, sportsbetting.com is known for their sharp odds and their low juice. That means the best prices for you. New players also get a welcome bonus, a 100% risk-free week of sports betting up to $500. Sportsbetting.com offers no-hassle bonuses with just a one-time playthrough, so take advantage of their NFL touchdown and NBA playoff MVP promotions with can't-lose offers on first touchdown and triple-double scores. Get your action on at the home of sports betting. That's sportsbetting.com/LockedOnBroncos. All right, Broncos country, let's get into your Twitter Tuesday questions on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. We know the Broncos are off today. They're going to be back on the practice field tomorrow at the UCL Training Center. And there is some optimism growing that Drew Lock and several other players will be back into the fold for this Broncos football team on Sunday, 11 a.m. Mountain Time kickoff against the New England Patriots. We'll also talk with Mike DeBate once again for Crossover Thursday on Thursday's episode of the show, just because we have got to go back and circle back how we got to this point, and hopefully that the trend can continue where players don't test positive. So far yesterday, the New England Patriots, they all received negative tests. That's a step in the right direction, I think, for this game continuing on as planned. So without further ado, let's get into some of your listener questions on today's episode, Locked on Broncos. And if you ever want to get involved in Twitter Tuesday, just send me a tweet at @CodyRourkeNFL, hashtag Twitter Tuesday, and we will get your question answered here on the show. We're going to start off with Enrique Vaz 23. He says, does Drew Lock know how to read the defense like Brett Rypien does at this point? I'd rather have Brett Rypien as quarterback one. This is interesting, and I don't want to say that your response is necessarily drastic. I would just say it's a little bit of an overreaction. Here's the deal. We saw Brett Rypien coming against Tampa Bay in the fourth quarter. He was very decisive, getting the ball out of his hands quickly. He's a different style of quarterback, in my opinion, than Drew Lock. They have some similar traits that maybe you can marry together in this offensive system that Pat Shurmur runs, and we certainly saw that in Brett Rypien's first start on Thursday Night Football against the New York Jets. We got to see the good. We got to see the bad. The good with Brett Rypien is that he gets the ball out of his hands quickly. When you compare him and his style to Drew Lock, Drew Lock relies a lot on his athleticism. He's not really the type of guy that's just going to stand back in the pocket. Now, I do think that on film, Lock has displayed out of the shotgun, he can get the snap, take a three-step drop, sit there for a couple seconds, look for the reads, the progressions, and then fire. But I think this Broncos offense is mainly designed to be a quick-hitting passing attack, and then you're going to set it up with play action for an occasional deep shot, or you're going to do it out of the pistol, or you're going to do it out of the shotgun. I don't think that Brett Rypien, I don't think anybody can say Brett Rypien at this point is the guy that the Broncos want to roll with long-term. Look, I think that he's the backup of the future for this Broncos football team. I think that the Broncos absolutely 100% need to place Brett Rypien as Drew Lock's backup, and there's a chance that Lock does return this Sunday. I think it's looking more optimistic at this point. But Drew Lock does know how to read a defense. I did a film review on him from last season in that five-game stretch that he had. There were times where he was reading where the safety was, the depth of the safety, whether it was a single high safety, a two high safety look, where's the nearest inside linebacker. We saw him struggle in the first game against the Los Angeles Chargers back in, I believe it was week 13 of last year. But the biggest thing that I saw from Drew Lock is that he carried over against the Detroit Lions, against the Las Vegas Raiders, against other teams, the Houston Texans. He started to read the defense. He started to pick up some rhythm. I wouldn't say that he's a rhythm passer either. I think that Drew Lock has the capability of coming in and firing some passes on crossing patterns, over routes, snag concepts, and also taking some shots downfield. The Broncos in week one of 2020, they took more shots downfield with Drew Lock than they did in Drew Lock's five-game stretch of 2019. I think for Lock, he's 6.5 games into his stint as the Broncos starting quarterback. This upcoming week is going to be more so, it's going to be 7 games altogether for Drew Lock. I still think that there's some things he has to improve on in terms of maybe getting rid of the ball a little quicker than he has been. I know he relies a lot on his athleticism. I would like to see him use his athleticism, roll and throw, rather than taking some shots. And I think it's going to give the offensive line the opportunity to continue blocking for him as well. We saw Drew Lock elevate the Broncos O-line play in 2019, did the same exact thing here in 2020. Here's the difference. There was one freak play that happened with Bud Dupree coming in after T.J. Watt just absolutely abused Elijah Wilkinson. We have not yet seen Drew Lock behind a right tackle like DeMar Dotson, who's not as versatile, not as laterally quick, but can maybe anchor down to give Lock some time on the outside. It really depends on how the Broncos decide to scheme up the offense with Dotson at right tackle because he is not as versatile. We saw the screenplay to Royce Freeman on Thursday Night Football from Brett Rippon to the outside. That requires the tackle to climb up to the second level to block that cornerback or to get up to that play side safety. He couldn't get there, and that's why you saw a tackle for a loss on the play there. So I think that there's some things that the Broncos can do, I think, regardless if it's Brett Rippon or Drew Lock. But to be honest with you, Drew Lock is the guy, and he's more advanced at this point in his career, 6.5 games in, than Brett Rippon is. But I do think that the sample size that Brett Rippon has displayed, minus the 3 interceptions that he threw against the New York Jets, I think that Brett Rippon has some things you can build on for a solidified, comfortable backup quarterback, because we've seen in the NFL this year how important it is to really have that type of guy. I know the San Francisco 49ers are hurting right now at the backup quarterback position, even the starting quarterback position. So I think we should all be grateful the Broncos are not at that point just yet. So thank you for your question. The next one comes in from Denver Gator. He says, did the Chiefs lose because of a bad game played, or is Las Vegas a legitimate team to be concerned about? Or was the win just an anomaly, a little bit of a wake-up call to the Kansas City Chiefs? This is a great question. Now, when I look at the Las Vegas Raiders, the fact they were able to put up 40 points and they were able to hold on, they won 40-32 over the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. The thing that I notice is just the consistency trend. Derek Carr arguably on Sunday looked the best that I've ever seen from him at that position. And if you want to listen to the Lockdown Raiders podcast hosted by your boy Q, as a good friend of mine, he'll have the scoop on that. But Carr found 10 different receivers in yesterday's action. We saw Henry Ruggs with the deep play explosiveness, his speed, his ability to catch the ball, his ability to get behind defenses. That came to fruition in Sunday's win. And also, I think that their defense, they found a way. I don't know how they did it, but they adjusted, they smothered the passing lanes. Even though that Patrick Mahomes still ran around and threw, he wasn't as sharp as we normally saw him. And so I'm wondering if maybe the Las Vegas Raiders created a little bit of a blueprint, maybe, in terms of flustering Patrick Mahomes a little bit. But also, you look at the skill players. Tyreek Hill didn't have any of those game-changing explosive plays that we normally see from him. He had a couple of big plays downfield. Travis Kelce obviously led the way for them. I think that the Raiders are a tough football team. I've said that. I've been on record. I know Broncos fans don't like to hear that, but the Raiders have improved offensively. They look better under John Gruden right now than they ever have been so far in Gruden's previous years with Derek Carr there. They have the weapons, they have the talent, and they're a quick-hitting offense. Their offensive line is a strong suit. Their run game is a strong suit to them as well. And then their defense is also very aggressive. Even though they've been giving up a lot of plays, they've been giving up a lot of points, they're starting to adjust a little bit. And the way that they adjusted against Kansas City, that to me, I think, was the biggest surprise. I think the AFC West is the toughest division in football. You look at the Chargers, you look at the Chiefs, you look at the Raiders, they are tough. They're going to be a tough test for this Broncos football team. The Broncos just have to worry about them. They got to continue to progress. They got to continue to get better week in and week out. And you're going to be tested because now, guess what? You play New England this week, you host Kansas City the following week, and then the Los Angeles Chargers come to town. So you're going to get some of your division action going right away. And the Broncos right now sitting at 1-3, they don't want to go into that game sitting at 1-4. They don't want to go into the Chargers game in week 8 sitting at 1-5. That would be a very, very hard road to come back from if you're the Broncos going forward. Broncos Country coming up here in just a moment. We're going to continue with your questions on today's episode, Twitter Tuesday, here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast. But before we do that, I got to tell you about the other sponsor of today's episode of the show. That's good friends over there, Built Go. And Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. And it helps you break through your wall. What's a wall that you may ask? Well, it's that feeling you get, whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the mid-afternoon, where you feel like you just have no more energy and you can't give it anymore. Built Go is here to change that. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, you get a breakthrough with Go every single day. And easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, or you can put it in your pocket to help you get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a Monster energy drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. And they come in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. You can put it on your toast, you can put it in your Greek yogurt. It is good for you, and it helps you when you're on the go. How does Built Go work so well? Well, Built Go combines energy gel with collagen-based protein, and collagen protein is fast-absorbing, so it gets into my system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach. And Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work, like beta-alanine, B3 honey, and a kick of caffeine. Built Go then kicks to keep me going strong, so collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Cameron Parker PO kicks off our next question here on Twitter Tuesday. He says, with everything that's unfolded due to this game, from being played to postponed to pushed to Sunday next week, is this a potential season-defining game for the Broncos? Cam, I would say that it is, and the reason I say that is where you look at the team right now, 1-3, right? It's a better start for the Broncos so far this year in comparison to starting off 0-4 last season. However, the Broncos, they finished out strong down the stretch. This is a tough schedule for Denver. Now knowing that they're going to play 12 consecutive games really without a break, you play New England, you play Kansas City, you play the Chargers, it's just going to be a tough road. Then you play the Falcons, the Raiders. It just doesn't get easier. Then the Dolphins too. So really the next six games for Denver, and then you play the Saints afterwards. The next seven games, ideally, I know I said six, but the next seven games for the Broncos is going to be very, very difficult. This team is going to be tested. This game right here is the defining moment, because if you drop to 1-4, it's hard to really project where this team is going to be against Kansas City. If you lose that, you go to 1-5, and then the Chargers playing really good football right now. You lose that, you're 1-6. Ideally, at that point, you're really wondering, where is this team headed? Because it's not in the right direction. If that's the case, if they lose these next couple of games, they got to find a way to piece together, sneak a game. They got to beat New England on Sunday. And if they do that, I think it's going to give them momentum to propel themselves against a team like Kansas City and the Chargers. But if they lose, I feel like the response of this football team is going to be really critical. How they respond to it, this has just been an adversity-filled season. That, to me, is something that I'm looking at for this Broncos football team. I do think that this Sunday's game is a season-defining game for this team. It's going to set the trajectory for the rest of the way for this Broncos team. Steven Chris is up next. He says, what is the likelihood that Denver has Locke, Boye, and Fant available? Drew Locke, there's a stronger chance based on what I've been told that Locke will make his return to the lineup on Sunday. It was questionable. He wouldn't have done it yesterday if the Broncos played yesterday. It would have been Brett Rypien on Monday if that were the case. But there is all signs pointing to Locke making his return this upcoming Sunday. AJ Boye is probably the one that I'm a little less, you know, optimistic about at this point. He was very unlikely to play originally against the New England Patriots if the game was going to be scheduled on time the way that it originally was. He was not very likely to do it. I would say he's got about a 50-50 chance now. The shoulder separation is obviously a big thing, but for the Broncos, once they remove him off IR, that's going to be the biggest sign. And once they do that, he has 21 days to return to practice and to return to the fold, I think, before he has to be shut down for the year. That's not going to be the case. Boye will make his return at some point. I just don't think it's going to be against the New England Patriots. I think it's going to be against the Los Angeles Chargers the following week. Noah Fant, however, I'd say that there's a little bit more optimism growing for him as well, but we got to wait and see what the Broncos practice report looks like tomorrow when they return back to the field at the UCL Training Center. I imagine if Noah Fant's going to participate at all starting tomorrow, he will be limited. He's going to do position-specific drills. If that's the case, if I had to guess, and that's going to be a big sign as to maybe where he's at by the end of the week for this Broncos football team. He also says, do you think that Denver has a better chance this week with healthy players back, plus also Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore, than they would have had last week versus Brett Rypien and Jarrett Stidham? I think it's great anytime you play a team that's full strength. I know fans are, you always like to get in the argument. If a team loses, they say, well, we weren't at full strength. I think if the Broncos are at full strength, I think if the Patriots are at full strength, it's going to be a good test for this Broncos football team. I don't think this Broncos team wants to cut any corners, and if Locke and company are healthy, Cam and company are healthy down there, it should make an exciting matchup, but I think it's going to be tough. I didn't really see the Broncos really regardless winning this game because of the fact I think that New England just has so many different things. The Broncos have to get their momentum going offensively, I think, in order to have a chance in this game, because you're going against the NFL's second leading rushing football team on offense, and then you're also playing a very stingy defense, which is a top 10 defensive unit. It's very aggressive. They like to disguise coverage. They generate takeaways. They're a very disciplined football team, and where the Broncos are as such a young team, if we look at the trend, the four-game trend so far, they've been an inconsistent young football team. You can't make those mistakes against New England. I think that New England is a tough team. I think they're going to compete with Buffalo there. I think Buffalo is going to win the division, but I think that New England is going to be a very, very tough football team to beat. And so I think the Broncos do have a better chance with the fully healthy offense back. But like I said, I think the odds are against Denver this week. Our next one comes in from Ryan_Goff. He says, why is Jerry Jeudy being underutilized? I wouldn't say that he's being underutilized. I'd say, look, he's a rookie player. He's now picked up a responsibility, and he's played with three different quarterbacks so far this season. I would say that he struggled in week one with a couple of drops, concentration drops. His route running is there. Separation is there, and he's getting the football. But, you know, the Broncos, they've been going to guys with a hot hand. And look, when you're going, with Tim Patrick, who had six catches, 113 yards against the Jets, and you had other guys, you had Melvin Gordon, in terms of riding the hot hand, you got to go with the guys that have gotten the hot hand there overall. And that's what Brett Rypien and the Broncos did against the Jets. And Tim Patrick's been the hot guy for the Broncos. Jerry Jeudy's also been a guy that's still been getting in a rhythm. He's still transitioning to the NFL. I wouldn't say that he's being underutilized, but I do hope that Broncos fans are more patient with Jerry Jeudy than what I'm seeing on the responses that I see on Twitter almost every week. He's still learning the concepts. He's still getting comfortable. And like I said, playing with three different quarterbacks, it's going to affect your rhythm. He developed a lot of chemistry with Drew Lock. He developed some chemistry early on in the offseason with Jeff Driscoll, but it didn't necessarily translate when Jeff Driscoll couldn't get the ball out of his hands. Brett Rypien, he got a little bit of time with overall, but outside of that, he's still getting acclimated to the NFL life himself. And what we're seeing from him, the intangibles, the traits, I think that's exactly what fans need to focus on. He's got the big plays. He had the Moss catch over Pierre this year. He's a guy that's constantly getting open. He's creating separation. He's also blocking. He's still making some mistakes along the way. He's going to be just fine. I think he's going to continue to elevate. That's why the Broncos went with wide receiver. That's why they got Jerry Jeudy. That's why they got KJ Hamler. When he returns, it's going to be even great for the Broncos. But then Tim Patrick as well stepping up. And if Noah Fant can return the Broncos, I think they're going to be A-OK in the receiving department. I'd love to see Tyree Cleveland get some more run here for this Broncos team going forward. And I imagine that's probably what we're going to see. And I think there's going to be some competition between him and Deshaun Hamilton in terms of some more on-field reps the rest of the way this season. So Broncos country, I appreciate your questions. I appreciate your comments and your thoughts on today's Twitter Tuesday episode, Lockdown Broncos. Just a reminder, we will be back tomorrow as the Broncos return to the practice field. We're going to hear what the practice prognosis is for guys like Drew Lock, Noah Fant, and much more. The storylines will write themselves. And in the meantime, enjoy some football tonight at the Buffalo Bills and the Tennessee Titans. They play on Tuesday Night Football, which is very, very weird, but get your football fix on. And I'll see you tomorrow. This is Cody Rourke, host of Lockdown Broncos. We'll see you then for a brand new episode tomorrow morning on your favorite podcast provider.